I said this morning that I wanted to speak to you tonight upon the theme or subject, an experience that every young person, and I'll broaden it out, an experience that every sinner needs to have. I am referring to the words of verse 17 of Luke chapter 15, referring to the prodigal son. It tells us there, and when he came to himself. That statement describes the experience of the prodigal son as he sat among the swine, as he went about his task of feeding them for the man whom he was working for in the far country, having wasted precious years of his life in a state of sin. Now, the story of the prodigal son is not only one of the best known parables that the Lord Jesus told. It has been rightly described as one of the greatest stories that was ever given or ever told. Its message can be summed up as the complete story from ruination to redemption, or the complete story from sin to salvation. You see, the prodigal ruined his life by sin. He ruined his life by rebelling against his father. He ruined because he was taken up with his own self-will, his own selfish desires, and all he wanted to do was serve and please himself. You'll notice and see in verse 12 that he asked his father to divide unto him or give him his portion. It says the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." In essence, what he was really saying was that he wanted and wished his father dead. You see, the children do not normally receive the inheritance from their father until their father has passed away. And here's a young man, and he can't wait until he gets his hands on what he felt was his lot. And it's as if he's saying, "Dad, I wish you were dead. I wish you were out of my life. I wish you had no more influence over me. I wish that what is yours is mine, so that I can live as I like and I can do as I please." And it seems to be that he despised the discipline, the duties, and the devotion that were in his family home. The discipline of life, the duties of working for his father, and the devotion, for it seems to be that his father was a spiritual man, a man of compassion and mercy, a man who lived by the principles of the gospel. This younger son, he seemed to despise it all. All he wanted to do was get out into the world, live with no restraints, and live for himself. And so, having received his inheritance, as one preacher put it, he took himself off to the far country to get as far away from his father's influence, his father's care, and his father's discipline. And he lived in sin. As you read the story, as you read the parable, you discover what that entailed. He spent his money among harlots. He lived for the lusts of the flesh. He lived in riotous excess. It seems to be that he was given to drunkenness, to endless partying, to complete disregard for the commands of the Lord and the scriptures. He got away from it all, and he was just living as he pleased, indulging in the sins of the flesh, in the pleasures of sin that the Bible tells us they last only for a season. I wonder tonight, am I speaking to someone, whether young or old, and that is where you are right now. You've been brought up in a Christian home. Mother and father and maybe grandparents. They taught you the gospel. They prayed for you. They wanted you to live for the Lord and to give your heart to Him. But you've got away from that. You're out in the world and you're living for yourself and doing as you please. Maybe some of the young people. You're still living at home. You can't be doing the things you maybe would want to do, for you're under the watchful eye and the care and the discipline of your mother and father. But in your heart, this is how you want to live. And if that's how you think, I'm speaking to you right now as well. For you see, you may not actually engage in these things at this moment that this prodigal engaged in, but in your heart and in your mind, you're waiting the day when you can get out and away from the house of God, and away from the influence of your parents, and away from the influence of the Lord in your life. And this is how you, at this present time, are intending to live when you get there. Well, listen to this. For this young man, not only did he take himself off, but he was brought down. He was brought down by his sin. Sin took everything from him. He lost it all. He lived the high life and the good life and the sinful life, and he ended up with nothing. Sin will cost you more than you ever want to pay. Sin will take you further than you want to go. And there's always a price to pay for living a life of sin and rebellion against God. Proverbs, the wise man Solomon who wrote the Proverbs, he tells us, the way of the transgressor is hard. And you will find if you give yourself to sin and to the ways of the devil, that you will discover that it will bring hardship. It will bring trouble. It will bring difficulties. You will be brought low. And that's what happened to this young man. For it tells us that a famine arose just after he had spent all that he had. Perhaps he intended, oh, there's plenty of jobs, there's much employment, and once I have spent all that I have, will I take employment, and I continue to live the life that I have. But just after he spent all that he had, there arose a famine. Employment was not as plenty, and he had to take the lowest of the jobs that he could find, feeding the swine. How shameful for a young Jewish man to be working among those animals that his people described as unclean and were not permitted to keep. And oh, sin brought him low, and he sat in the pigsty with a swine. And oh, so hungry was he that he would fill his belly with the husks that they did eat. Yes, he was brought low. And I remind you tonight that if you give yourself to sin, you will be brought low. And it was at that moment. And maybe young people, maybe older person, the Lord will have to bring you low before He gives you this experience. It may not be so, but it may just be that the Lord will have to bring you so low before you have the experience of the prodigal. Look at verse 17. It was when he was low in sin that it tells us he came to himself. He had a spiritual awakening in his soul. He came to himself. The light dawned in his soul and in his heart and in his mind. And as that preacher put it, I never forget it. I'm sure many of us are familiar with the late Pastor Ivan Thompson. His outline for this sermon was, he took himself off, he brought himself down, he caught himself on. And it's only an Ulster man could come up with an outline like that. But there in the pigsty, the light dawned in his heart. He came to himself, he caught himself on. He had a spiritual awakening. If you are not a Christian, you need that experience. You need this experience. You need to come to yourself. Whether you are openly engaging in a very sinful, rebellious lifestyle as of now, or whether you are simply dreaming of it, longing for it, wanting it, when you get out from the home place and from your mother and father's care and protection, This is the experience you need to have if you're not a Christian. You need to come to yourself and come to your senses. And there's three main thoughts I want to highlight from this spiritual awakening in his soul. There was firstly his realization. What did this young man realize when he came to himself? He realized that he was perishing. Look at verse 17. When he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." I perish, or I am perishing. That's the sense of it. I am perishing. And as he sat there among the swine and he fed them, the truth dawned in his soul that he was in great danger, that his circumstances had been brought about by his sin and his wickedness and his rebellion against his father. And he recognized that such was the famine, the extent of this famine was great, that if he continued, if he remained, if he stayed in that condition, in those circumstances, then he was going to die. That's how dangerous his situation was. And now he recognizes it. I am going to die if I stay in this condition and in this situation. My friend, that's the point every individual needs to come to in the spiritual sense. In your rebellion against your heavenly Father, God the Creator, you've rebelled against Him in Adam. You are a sinner by birth and by nature. And because of your sinful life and because of your sinful ways, you have been separated from Him. And if you remain in that state, if that state and condition does not change, you will perish. The Lord Jesus spoke about perishing. We live in an age when, even among evangelical people, there is a reluctance to talk about perishing or being lost in hell. Jesus spoke about perishing. Greatest, most well-known verse in the Bible. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish." And the inference of that verse is that if you do not believe in the Son of God to be your Savior, you will perish. You will be lost in hell. Jesus spoke about it again in John 10 and 28. He said, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish." And again, we conclude that if you do not receive eternal life from Jesus Christ, you will perish. You will be lost in hell. He said in Luke 13, verse 3, "Except ye repent, ye shall perish." Paul spoke about perishing. In Romans chapter 2, verse 12, he spoke about those who sin without the law will perish without the law. And he recognized that men who live in sin, if they're not saved, whether they do it ignorantly or with full knowledge of their deeds and actions, they will perish if they die in their sin. In 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, Paul said, "The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." Men and women who live in sin, and they hear the preacher on the street corner. They're invited to a church service, and they hear the preacher preach the gospel. In their state of sin, it seems like foolishness. To them that perish, it's foolishness. And here was Paul and Jesus, and we could go through other scriptures. They face the reality that men are perishing in sin. And I wonder tonight, have you come to that realization and that acceptance? That in your state of sin, if it doesn't change, you will be lost and perish in hell. You know, he realized something else. When he came to himself, not only did he realize that he was perishing, he realized there was a provision. For look again at verse 17, it says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger.'" While the prodigal was starving, the very thing that he needed, bread, the thing that he needed to save his body and to save him, was provided in abundance. You think of the place where it was provided. It was provided in his father's house. The very one that he rebelled against. The one that he turned his back upon. You think of the person who was providing it. It was his father. And the one that he rebelled against and turned away from and sinned against was providing bread for others. The very thing that he needed to save him. What a picture of the gospel. Isn't the Lord Jesus Christ described as bread? In John 6, verse 35, "I am the bread of life." And I tell you, the very thing that the sinner needs, the very thing that mankind needs to save his soul. You see, as bread saves the body from dying, so Christ saves the soul from perishing. And that's why he's called the bread of life. And the very one who you sin against, the very one who you rebel against, the very one who you've turned away from, he has made provision for you in sending his son to Calvary to bleed and to die, to give of his life as an atonement for sin, to take the sinner's place. Salvation is of the Lord. He has provided it there at Calvary. When Jesus took the sins and the sorrows of his people, and he suffered and he bore the wrath and the penalty and the punishment for them. I wonder tonight, have you realized? Have you come to see these simple gospel truths? For it was the first step in this young man getting right with his father, being reconciled to him. And unless you see your perishing condition, your lost and undone estate, unless you see that provision for your soul has been provided by God and by God alone in the person of Christ at Calvary, you'll never be saved. Second thing I want you to notice about this great awakening in his soul was not only his realization, but consider secondly his repentance. It says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father.'" And coming to himself, he not only recognized certain truths, but he determined to do something. He determined that he would go to his father. And if you are to be saved from your sin, then you must go to the Lord. You must go to God for his salvation. And let's make it very simple tonight. For you see, Paul said in preaching to the Corinthians, seeing them we have this hope, we use great plainness of speech. Let's get down to the very basics. Let's be very simple tonight with the gospel message. How can a sinner go to God? How can you go to the Father? Well, this young man, he went confessing his sin. For in verse 18, he says, "I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." He would go to his father confessing his sin. And if you are to come to God, you must come with confession. You don't need to confess your sin to the minister. You don't need to confess your sin to your friends. You don't need to confess your sin to an earthly priest. There's only one priest you need to confess to, and that priest is Jesus, the great high priest. What was it he was going to say? "I have sinned." He was going to genuinely accept that he had done wrong against his father. He was going to accept that he was in the wrong and that he had committed sin and wrongdoing against his father. If you take your concordance, you'll probably need an online concordance to do it, or one on the computer. But if you type in the phrase, "I have sinned," you will discover that throughout the Bible there were 9 men who uttered those words, "I have sinned." Pharaoh said, "I have sinned." Balaam said, "I have sinned." Achan said, "I have sinned." Saul said, "I have sinned." David said, "I have sinned." Job said, "I have sinned." Shimei said, "I have sinned." Judas said, "I have sinned." And the prodigal son said, "I have sinned." Out of those 9 men, only 3 were genuine. The other 6 were only paying lip service. Yes, David was genuine whenever he was shown his sin by the prophet. And he repented of it. Job was genuine in confessing his sin. The prodigal was genuine in confessing his sin. The others were only paying lip service. Only saying it because it sounded right to the prophet or to others they were speaking to. My friend, I'm not interested in playing games tonight. I'm not interested in lip service. For you can pay all the lip service you want to the Lord. If you're not genuine in your heart, you'll not receive a full and free forgiveness from your heavenly Father. But here's a man, the prodigal, and he's genuine. He's taking the sinner's place. He knows that he's done wrong, and he's prepared to accept it. I'm asking you, are you prepared to take the sinner's place? You'll never be saved if you don't. Remember that individual who came into the temple in Luke chapter 18, just a couple of chapters away, the Pharisee and the publican. We're thinking of the publican. What was it he said? Let me mention the verse to you. Verse 13, the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He knew that he'd wronged the Lord. He knew that he'd broken the Lord's commands. And in coming to the Lord, he came with confession and he genuinely accepted that he had broken God's law. In confessing our sins, we need to accept before the Lord we've wronged him, we've broken his law, and we've transgressed his commands. I tell you, unless you genuinely take the sinner's place, you will never be saved. Unless you honestly confess your sins to God, you'll never receive pardon or forgiveness. I mentioned Pastor Thompson and that strange outline he had to this sermon and to this passage. But I remember him telling a story. I was just a young Christian whenever Pastor Thompson was preaching. And of course he passed away quite suddenly. I was only in my early 20s when he passed away. But I remember him telling a story in one of his missions about counseling a lady about her need of salvation. She had waited behind. She wanted to speak to him. And he said she began to talk to him and he began to talk to her. He said, you know, she said all the right things at the start. And he brought her to the place where she was going to ask the Lord and call upon the Lord to save her. And he said, we bowed our head to pray. And he said, I told her, and he was leading her in prayer, and he began to pray, "Lord, I acknowledge I'm a sinner." And he said there was a pause, and he was a bit of a comedian, if you knew him, and he said, and I opened the one eye to see what was going on, because there was a pause, and he says, "You're just sitting." And he says, "Open both eyes," and asked her, "Is there a problem?" She says, "Well, you know, I don't really think I am a sinner. I'm not as bad a sinner as others." He says, "It just ended it there and then." He says, "For she wasn't ready to be saved." Men and women, if you are not prepared to take the sinner's place and accept your guilt before God and confess your sin honestly and genuinely before the Lord, then I tell you there will be no salvation for you. This man in his repentance, he came with confession of sin. He was confessing his sin. But then I want you to notice he was sorrowing over his sin. Look again at verse 19. For he says, "And I'm no more worthy." He's going to say, he's reasoning it out in his mind. He's going to say to his father, "I've sinned, I've broken your commands, I've rebelled against you, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." Do you know what he's acknowledging there? my sin, I don't deserve to be your son anymore. I deserve nothing from your hand. And he's genuinely sorry for his sin to the extent that he knows he deserves nothing from his Father. You see, the seeking soul is a sorrowful soul. Sorrowful and sorry for sin. Isn't that what we read about the publican in Luke 18? He stood afar off. He did not feel worthy to come nigh unto God. And he stood afar and he smote his breast. Because he was genuinely sorrowful for the sin that he committed. I ask you tonight, do you recognize sin is offensive to God? That sinners deserve nothing from the Lord. And yet in His mercy and in His love, He has provided all that we need. As this young man, he came confessing his sin and sorrowing over his sin. But he came forsaking his sin. This is genuine repentance. Confession of sin, sorrow for sin, and a forsaking or a turning away from sin. Look at verse 18. I will arise and go to my Father. And then verse 20. And he arose. Now where's he arising from? Yes, he's rising from the swine. But where were the swine? They were in the far country. The place that symbolized his sin. The place where he committed all those sins against his Father and against God. The place where he ran with the harlots. He drank to excess. He partied endlessly. He engaged in the pleasures of sin and rioted no end. He's going to leave the place of his sin. And he's going to go back again to the Father's house. He's going to place himself under his Father's discipline. He's going to observe the duties that his Father would require, not as a son in his thought, but as a servant. And he's going to leave and forsake and cut off those sins and transgressions against his Father. My friends, that's true repentance. I wonder tonight, can you look at these three things? Confessing sin. Bible says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sorrowing over sin, it says, in fact, Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn. We often hear that quoted at a funeral service. And there's no wrong in that. But primarily, Jesus was speaking about those that mourn over their sin. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. The forsaking of sin. It is the one that repents, turns from sin, shall never perish. And as you look at those three aspects of repentance, I ask you tonight, like the prodigal, have you genuinely repented of your sin? Have you come to God for salvation? Have you gone to your heavenly Father? If not, are you prepared to do it this evening? Are you prepared tonight to seek the Lord, to go to Him and confess your sin in sorrow for your sin and being prepared to forsake the sins that grieve Him and that offend Him? There's one final thought tonight I want to put to you. When this young man came to himself, he had this great realization. We've considered his repentance, but I want you to notice his reception, the reception that he received from his Father. Look at verse 20. And he arose and came to his Father. What reception will you receive if tonight you go to the Heavenly Father? It says, but when he was a great way off, his Father saw him. As a young Christian, I listened as carefully as I could to great preachers. There was a preacher Dr. Paisley used to have at the Easter Convention, a man by the name of Dr. Ken Connolly. I never forget his sermon on Hosea. If you can get that sermon, I tell you it was wonderful. He told the story of Hosea and Gomer, and he applied it in the gospel. But I also remember him preaching on the prodigal son. And he pointed out that it was the elder brother who knew that the younger brother had devoured his living with harlots. And he posed the question, how did the father and the elder brother know exactly what their brother was doing in the far country? There was no Skype in those days. There was no email. There wasn't even a telephone, never mind a mobile telephone. My children find it hard to believe that I didn't have a mobile phone until I was engaged to their mother and we were getting ready to get married. But there wasn't the communications in those days that we have. They couldn't keep in contact. How did the father and the elder brother know? And Dr. Connolly surmised, sanctified imagination. I don't think he was too far wrong. He said the father so loved the son that he kept tabs on him. That he perhaps sent servants to follow him, to report every so often. You see, how did he know that when his son was afar off that he was coming? Oh, he'd already heard the report, your boy's on his way home. My friend, the reception that any sinner will receive if they genuinely come to God in repentance is the reception that this son received from his father. He received pity or compassion. His father saw him and had compassion. Isn't that lovely? You know, he deserved, if we talk about a size 9 in a certain place, he deserved a good, we'll say a clip round the ear. We'll make it a little bit more sanctified. He deserved a clip in the ear from his father, didn't he? He devoured his living. He disgraced his father's name. And he deserved that. What did the father do? He had compassion. He loved him. And he came and he fell on his neck and he wept and he kissed him and he embraced him for the son that he loved. Oh, he'd gone away, but now he was coming home. And he wept tears of joy. And I can tell you tonight, it doesn't matter what sin you've committed. It doesn't matter how much you've disgraced the Lord. Doesn't matter the depths that you've plumbed in sin. Oh, I tell you, you genuinely repent. You come to the Lord and you will discover His love and His mercy and He will bestow it upon you. He had the pity of His Father and then He had the pardon of His Father. For you'll notice that it says there in verse 22, His Father said to His servant, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Do you know what the robe signifies in the Bible? The garment of salvation. And our sins were clothed in filthy rags. And the Father brings the best robe and He puts it upon His Son. And it's a picture. The Father, whenever we come to God in repentance, He clothes us with the garments of salvation. The prodigal was dressed in tatters. He'd spent all his money. He was in rags. And when he came home, the father replaced his rags with the best robe. And it's a picture of the garment of salvation when we're clothed in the righteousness of Christ. I tell you, our sins are covered. We're justified. They're forgiven. They're pardoned. They're put away from God's view into the sea of God's forgetfulness, never to be remembered against us again. That's the reception the sinner receives when they genuinely come to the Lord. Pity, pardon, and then a position where He says, bring not only the best robe and put it on him, but put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. The ring speaks of sonship. That was the position he was restored to. He was happy to be a servant, but the Father restored him to the position of a son. And I tell you, when we come to the Lord, He makes us His children, heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ to inherit heaven itself. And all that is the Father's. tell you that's the reception you will receive. There are those and they think, God will never forgive me. God will never receive me. God would never love me because of the way that I've walked, because of the transgressions I have committed, because of the lifestyle I have lived. I tell you tonight, on the basis of God's word, the sinner who genuinely confesses his sin in sorrow for it and is prepared to forsake his sin by repentance, the Father will bestow upon that individual, upon you, love, pardon, and make you a son. The question is this. Have you come to yourself? Will you come to your spiritual senses? And tonight, will you go to the Lord? Will you come to Him in repentance if you haven't already done so?